The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is A Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from NPR Amtrak paid $2 million to disabled in settlement. From BGR.com, to-dos for your smartphones. From Mashable, iOS 15.3.1 patches a vulnerability for that hackers have been using. A 9-to-5 Mac introduces the forthcoming iOS 15.4 features. CoolBlind Tech has an article about a new haptic sleeve that you use with goggles to quote-unquote see. WGBH has an article on COVID tests being inaccessible to the blind. So let's get started. From NPR Morning Edition by Nell Clark, posted January 13th. The rail transportation company Amtrak has paid over $2 million to more than 1,500 people with disabilities who experienced discrimination while traveling by train or trying to, the U.S. Department of Justice announced. The money is part of a settlement agreement to resolve the United States' determination that the company violated the Americans with Disabilities Act by failing to make certain stations accessible to travelers with disabilities. These payments, as well as Amtrak's ongoing efforts to make rail stations accessible pursuant to our settlement agreement, bring both Amtrak and our nation one step closer to realizing the ADA's promise of equal opportunity for people with disabilities, said Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. The 2020 settlement resolves a lawsuit brought by the Justice Department against Amtrak. The Justice Department alleged Amtrak violated and continued to violate the Americans with Disabilities Act by failing to make stations in its intercity rail transportation system accessible, including to wheelchair users. Violations listed in the suit include inaccessible building entrances, bathrooms, elevators, and passenger platforms. In addition to compensating those who were discriminated against, Amtrak also agreed to design at least 135 stations to be accessible, complete construction at 90 of those stations, and have at least 45 more under construction over the next 9 years. The company would also train staff on the ADA's requirements and implement a new system for evaluating ADA complaints at the company. Individuals were able to submit compensation claims up until May 29, 2021. The ADA is the civil rights law that prohibits discrimination against people with disabilities by public entities and requires companies to make reasonable accommodations so that people with disabilities have comparable access as people without disabilities have. When Congress passed the ADA in 1990, it required Amtrak to make its network of transportation accessible by 2010. But the Justice Department's investigation found Amtrak did not do that. The Department of Justice began investigating Amtrak after receiving complaints in 2011 and 2012 from people with disabilities who alleged that certain Amtrak stations were inaccessible, as well as a detailed complaint from the National Disability Rights Network the next year alleging the same. In the suit, the Justice Department alleged Amtrak acted intentionally by failing to make its existing stations accessible. And unless restrained by this court, Amtrak will continue to violate the ADA and cause harm to individuals with disabilities. Amtrak entered into the settlement agreement with the Justice Department to resolve the alleged violations of the ADA in December 2020. Amtrak was criticized in 2020 after two riders who use power wheelchairs were asked to pay at least $25,000 for a train ticket for a two-hour ride that usually costs $16. After NPR's Joe Shapiro reported on the price and people with disabilities-led protests, Amtrak reversed course and dropped the policy that caused the high bill. There is a hot link on the website to read that. From BGR.com by Yoni Heisler, H-E-I-S-L-E-R. Every iPhone and Android user needs to do this once a week. The smartphone landscape has changed drastically over the past few years. Consider this. Not too long ago, it was easy to make a case arguing that Apple's iPhone was the best smartphone on the market. These days, rival devices from Google and Samsung routinely give top-of-the-line iPhones a run for their money. Indeed, when it comes to certain metrics like camera performance, there are some years where Google and Samsung devices leave the iPhone stranded in the second place. With that said, the narrative around smartphones today doesn't necessarily center on which device to get. Rather, it's about how to make the most out of whatever device you already own. And under that umbrella is the important issue of maintaining Android and iPhone security. Especially these days when scammers are more sophisticated and clever than ever, any concrete advice designed to keep your iPhone or Android device secure is worth paying attention to. To this point, the NSA not too long ago released a list of best practices for mobile devices. There's a hot link for that. If you're keen on maintaining optimal security for your iPhone or Android, you'll want to read below. iPhone and Android security tips. Many of the iPhone and Android security tips from the NSA are familiar. However, there are a few interesting entries on the list. For example, the NSA advises users to shut down and power off their devices every single week. Touching on this, Citizen Lab security expert Bill Marczak, M-A-R-C-Z-A-K, explains that many hackers today are opting for in-memory payloads that are harder to detect and trace back to whoever sent them. However, these types of hacks, Marczak notes, can't persist once a device is powered off. Is powering your device on and off a foolproof strategy? Not at all. Still, it's one tool of many that users should keep in mind when it comes to iPhone security. Other security tips from the NSA. It should go without saying, but never open unknown email attachments and links. This is especially worth paying attention to in an age where security firms like the NSO Group have come up with incredibly ingenious exploits. As the NSA warns, even legitimate centers can pass on malicious content accidentally, or as a result of being compromised or impersonated by a malicious actor. The NSA document also advises to only use original charging cords. This is especially good advice for iPhone users who might be tempted to buy a knockoff charger because Apple peripherals tend to be pricey. This is an especially important iPhone security tip. iPhone and Android users alike should also make sure that they're always running current software. Apple and Google issue security updates periodically. In turn, users should make sure that their software is always up to date so that malicious actors can't take advantage of patched exploits. Other security tips from the NSA include use biometric authentication like Face ID to prevent unauthorized access to your device. Disable location services for apps that don't need it. Disable Bluetooth when you're not using it. Don't connect to public Wi-Fi networks. Use text applications with strong encryption. Only use trusted accessories. From 9to5Mac.com, an article by Chance Miller named iOS 15.4 Stops iCloud Keychain from Saving Passwords Without Usernames. The iCloud Keychain continues to get more powerful across all of Apple's platforms. With the forthcoming releases of iOS 15.4, macOS 12.3, and iPadOS 15.4, Apple is making it even easier to save your passwords by addressing a major pain point when it comes to password changes and new account creation. This is a situation that anyone who uses iCloud Keychain as their password manager has likely encountered. Sometimes, Safari will help you create a strong, unique password for a new website or service, but it will fail to properly assign that password to your username. Instead, the password is silently saved to your iCloud Keychain without a username attached, which can make it tricky to identify when you need to log in again. With iOS 15.4, iPadOS 15.4 and macOS 12.3, however, Apple is taking steps to streamline the process. If you create a new password but Safari isn't sure which username that password belongs to, you'll see a pop-up asking you to enter the username for your account in that specific website. This is a small change, but one that addresses a major pain point with iCloud Keychain as it exists today. This change should make it far less likely that you end up with passwords that aren't assigned to a username. Not only does this further streamline the login process, but it also makes it easier for users to create unique and strong passwords for each website they visit. As we've covered already, another change coming to iCloud Keychain iOS 15.4 is support for adding notes to your saved login information. This is a feature that many third-party password managers have supported for years. iOS 15.4, iPadOS 15.4, and macOS 12.3 are currently in developer and public beta testing. They are expected to be released to the public sometime in mid-March. We use income in earning audio affiliate links. More at that hot link. From Mashable.com, you can update now. Apple issues major security patch for iOS. Apple admits bad actors may have been using this vulnerability. Dated February 10th. Forgive yourself the deja vu. Apple announced Thursday major security updates for both iOS 15.3.1 and iPadOS 15.3.1. At issue, according to the company, is an exploit which would let a hacker run arbitrary code on user devices. That's bad. What's more, Apple notes that this vulnerability isn't theoretical. Processing maliciously crafted web content may lead to arbitrary code execution, writes the company. Apple is aware of a report that this issue may have been actively exploited. In other words, Apple is saying that someone out there, hackers, government employees, whoever, may have used this exploit prior to this patch. Thursday's announcement comes shortly on the heels of a January 26th security patch for iOS and macOS, which itself followed a host of December 2021 security fixes. To be clear, it's a good thing that Apple is actively issuing these patches, even if customers are left wondering why so many are ultimately necessary. Thursday's update is available for the iPhone 6s and later, all iPad Pro models, the iPad Air 2 and later, the iPad 5th generation and later, the iPad Mini 4 and later, and the 7th generation iPod Touch. Notably, Apple credits discovery of the vulnerability to an anonymous researcher. To update your iPhone, while connected to the internet, plug your iPhone in and go to Settings. Number 2, tap General. Number 3, select Software Update. Number 4, choose Download and Install. Number 5, enter your passcode when prompted. Apple thankfully makes the update process relatively painless, which, considering how often iOS security updates seem to be needed, is wholeheartedly appreciated. From CoolBlindTech.com, this haptic feedback sleeve and goggles allow blind people to quote-unquote see with their arm. Issued February 7th. Two researchers with the Center for Digital Technology and Management, Technical University of Munich, have developed a haptic feedback sleeve and goggle system that allows blind people to partially see with the skin on their arm. Manuel Zahn, Z-A-H-N, and Armughan Ahmad Khan, K-H-A-N, published a paper describing their sleeve and goggle system on the ARXIV preprint server. As the researchers note, despite advances in the technology aimed at assisting the blind, the best tool for helping navigate in public is still the cane. In this new effort, the researchers built a system that they believe can help blind people and people with other vision problems to navigate more easily in public spaces. How does this system work? The system consists of a pair of goggles fitted with dual infrared cameras. The cameras create a 3D stereoscopic image of the environment in front of the goggles. The imagery is sent to a tiny computer that translates the visual data to haptic data, which is sent to a haptic sleeve. Inside the sleeve is a 5x5 array of small pads pressed against the forearm when the sleeve is worn. The pads vibrate as a means of communicating visual data. Images that are closer vibrate more strongly than those that are further away. For example, as a person wearing the system walks into a tunnel, the pads at the periphery of the array will start vibrating, alerting the user to the presence of the walls. If the tunnel is narrow, the pads will vibrate more strongly than if it is wide. Similarly, the pads that represent the outline of a person will vibrate more strongly as that person approaches and then cease as they pass by. What is the benefit of this system? The researchers point out that their system does not involve use of either the hands or the ears. Thus, users continue to use both to assist in navigating. They note also that because the system uses infrared cameras, it can be used in complete darkness. What were the results of the test? During testing, they found that users were able to use the system right away and grew more proficient with practice. From WGBH.org, blind people, disability advocates say, need more accessible at-home coronavirus tests. In the coming weeks, millions of Americans will receive at-home coronavirus tests through the mail, thanks to a collaboration between President Joe Biden's administration and the U.S. Postal Service. But while the distribution may help people who have struggled to acquire rapid tests, it's not a solution for everyone. For some, those who are blind or low vision, are elderly, have issues with physical dexterity, or have cognitive disabilities, the tests are difficult or impossible to use independently. Their options? Not take a home test, risk exposing someone else to the virus to help administer the test, or make a trip to a testing center, potentially exposing themselves further. For many people who are immunocompromised or vulnerable, at-home tests can be a lifeline. So as the Omicron variant continues to fuel high COVID-19 case counts, groups across the country, including in Massachusetts, are advocating for companies and the government to make the tests accessible. We are knocking on every policy and activism door, as we as a disability activism community can get to, in order to advocate for accessibility of COVID resources and policies, said Sassy Outwater Wright, executive director of the Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, which was founded in 1903 as the first U.S. social service agency dedicated to serving blind and low vision people. Helen Keller was on its first advisory board. Accessible at-home tests should be a top priority during this phase of the pandemic, she said. Not all of us have a family member who can help, especially if we're isolating with COVID. Chansey Fleet, who is blind, said that when she had to take an at-home test earlier this winter, she was fortunate to have help from her husband, who is sighted. The New York-based tech educator has been advocating for more accessible at-home tests since late 2021. As she reached out to more people in her community, she realized that inaccessible testing is a deep public health problem for disabled people, especially those who live alone and are still self-isolating. Their alternative would be to find a sighted person, and if they think they really might have COVID, that means bringing a sighted person close to the sample of COVID to interpret the test, which could harm another person, she said. So it's a real, real serious public health issue. For many people with disabilities, the pandemic highlighted existing disparities. A report from the National Council on Disability found that people with disabilities are twice as likely as people without disabilities to live below the poverty line. According to statistics from the National Federation of the Blind, people who are over 65 are almost three times as likely to have a visual disability as people under 65. The pandemic has already had a disproportionate effect on elderly people and people who live in poverty. There are workarounds. Apps like Be My Eyes, which is free, and AIRA, A-I-R-A, virtually connect blind or low-vision people with a sighted person to assist with life tasks, such as interpreting coronavirus test results. The National Federation of the Blind is now offering blind people free access to AIRA to help with at-home testing. There are also some tests, like the kit from Q Health Inc., that's CUE Health Inc., that can send results to a smartphone using Bluetooth technology, which could then be read with a screen reader audibly. Those apps and tests, however, can be costly or raise privacy concerns with sharing medical information to third parties. A pack of three tests from Q Health costs $474. Another at-home coronavirus test made by Ellume, E-L-L-U-M-E, can be used with a free app that includes video and audio instructions and can send results to an email address. Its retail price is around $38 for a single test. Using those is predicated on you having quite a lot of fluency in how to use a smartphone to work through the accessibility issues, Fleet said, noting that elderly people and people who are newly blind may not be proficient in assistive technology. The technology workarounds also do not address the challenges of people who struggle with physical dexterity or following written instructions. Completing each precise step could involve swabbing your nose in a circle repeatedly or inserting an exact amount of droplets into a tiny reader, all while making sure nothing gets contaminated. The test demands more of us than it does of the general population, Fleet said. Thinking about not just blind people, but people with limited fine motor skills would be great. Fleet said that people who live alone or think they have COVID-19 are put in an impossible position of having to go out and find a test in the community, increasing everybody's exposure risk, maybe standing in a very long line. She added that the websites to find those coronavirus tests aren't always accessible or easy to use. The federal USPS site is accessible. Boston's COVID-19 resource site is mostly accessible for people who use assistive technology, aside from a few sections, like the drop-down menus and a few linked PDFs, that may be difficult to navigate with a screen reader. Demand for at-home testing kits for people with disabilities is high, according to Bill Henning, executive director of the Boston Center for Independent Living. He acknowledges that while not perfect, at-home tests are an important option for people who want or need to avoid public testing sites. Those are challenging scenarios. If you don't have the stamina to be outside, if it's cold, you know, do you want to be cutting the line, so to speak, to get that accommodation? It's daunting for a lot of folks, he said. Millie Hernandez, who uses a wheelchair and has lupus, an autoimmune disease, said that for many people who are homebound or rely on round-the-clock medical care, traveling to a testing site can be difficult. People who are disabled don't have that luxury, said Hernandez. As an advocate who works with Boston Center for Independent Living, she said, mailed testing kits are a lifesaver. The center received around 450 kits from the Boston Public Health Commission at the end of December and distributed them all within about 10 days. The agency said they are planning on sending out another round of kits to older adults and disabled people soon. Henning shared some of the feedback the Boston Center for Independent Living received when people requested at-home tests. I am severely immunocompromised and my doctor doesn't want me taking any chances, one person wrote. Another wrote that her son has 5 home nurses who she would like to regularly test. Another said that to get a test he would have to rely on the ride, the MBTA's service for disabled people, and he was worried about exposure. Getting access to existing tools that are supposed to be widely available, Henning said, continues to be a challenge. The need is understood, Henning said, but there's this whole huge segment of seniors and people with disabilities and health conditions who still really need to be getting kits, getting PPE, things like that. The test demands more of us than it does of the general population. Thinking about not just blind people, but people with limited fine motor skills would be great. Chris Danielson, spokesperson for the National Federation of the Blind, said that so far, advocacy groups have not found any testing kits that are fully accessible. They are continuing to lobby the local and federal government for more options. There's a hot link for that. We don't know of any U.S. companies innovating in this space, he said. Danielson hopes that in the future tests could show results through changes in touch, temperature, smell, or sound. There are already thermometers that can detect temperature and then speak it aloud, and they're not very expensive. So why can't some device detect the result of this test and do the same? He asked. Danielson pointed to a company in the United Kingdom that developed an at-home pregnancy test that allows users to feel the results rather than rely on visual cues. John Koval, K-O-V-A-L, director of public affairs for Abbott, which manufactures the Binax Now test, didn't provide specifics, but he said the company will look at how testing and technology can work together to help enable more accessible home tests in the future. Fleet said that companies have a unique opportunity to be a pioneer, not just for coronavirus tests, but all at-home medical testing. Any company that wants to step up right now could be first and could be the bellwether that proves what's possible. And whoever that company is could be positioned very favorably, she said. From AFB President and CEO Kirk Adams, help us honor difference makers in the blindness field. Inclusion at work, driving change plus shifting perceptions. Call for nominations for 2022, Miguel Medels, M-I-G-E-L. Dear friends, as colleagues in the blindness field, all of us work on a daily basis with others who strive to enable and empower people who are blind or have low vision to thrive in the classroom, the workplace, and in their daily lives. These friends and colleagues are worthy of recognition, and that is where your valuable recommendations come in. We need your nominations to acknowledging the outstanding contributions of these individuals. The Miguel Medal is the highest honor in the blindness field, given annually by the American Foundation for the Blind, AFB, to exceptionally deserving recipients whose dedication and achievements have significantly improved the lives of people who are blind or visually impaired. The Miguel Medal Awards Committee selects just two honorees each year. Nominees should be those whose work affects services on a national level. The first Miguel Medal is bestowed to a professional in the field of blindness whose contributions have significantly improved the lives of people who are blind or visually impaired. Prospective candidates include individuals with training and expertise in education, orientation and mobility, vision rehabilitation therapy, technology, personnel preparation, health, administration, or a related field. The second Miguel Medal is reserved for an individual who works outside the traditional field of blindness, but whose career accomplishments or innovations significantly improve the lives of people who are blind or visually impaired. Nominations should be emailed to afblc@afb.org with M-I-G-E-L Medal nomination in the subject line. Nominators should send a one-page description of the nominee and accomplishments, and must also submit two letters of recommendation with the nomination from those familiar with the work. We have extended the deadline from February 1st to February 28th. The medals will be bestowed at a special ceremony later in the year. One of the most powerful affirmations we can bestow on our team members in the field is the gift of well-earned recognition. Please take a moment to reflect and nominate a deserving colleague. In partnership, Kirk Adams, President and CEO, AFB. From the February Blind Post, get paid for your opinion. Patients over 16 years of age and caregivers, family and friends with any disability, disorder, syndrome, disease, or condition are provided an opportunity to voice their opinions through surveys and interviews to improve medical products and services. Why sign up with Rare Patient Voice? Who knows better than you about your journey and experiences? We connect you with researchers who are developing products and services which can help you and others with your condition. These researchers need patient input, so they develop products and services that have meaningful impact on patients' lives. Over the past 7 years, Rare Patient Voice has paid patients over $6 million. How will I be paid? You will earn $100 per hour for participating in studies. We pay by check to ensure patients can use their compensation in any way they wish. Sign up today at https://rarepatientvoice.com/tgalanos/. For assistance, contact Jennifer Neal at jennifer.neal@rarepatientvoice.com. Well, I'm running out of time for this week's Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.